The purpose of Krishna consciousness is that we can see God. Not only to see God, but to associate with the Supreme Lord in loving exchanges. How to see God should be the career objective of every civilized human being. If you want to evaluate a society, a culture, then you have to see how that society, how that culture inspires people to see God and gives them the facility to do so. There is nothing more important in the human form of life than developing the knowledge and techniques for seeing God. Now, is it so difficult to see God? Actually, the real question is, why are we not seeing God? That is the most appropriate question to ask. Because Krishna has made it so easy to see Him. But because we are stubborn and addicted to our own ways of doing things, we miss the obvious presence of the Supreme Lord everywhere. The title of tonight's discussion is Premanetra, Eyes of Prem, Eyes of Love of Krishna. The whole process of Bhakti Yoga is meant to revive your Premanetra, your eyesight of Krishna Prem. Love of Krishna. Anyone can see Krishna from the beginning stage, the neophyte stage, to the most advanced stage in bhakti. Everyone is seeing Krishna. But you simply have to recognize what is in front of your eyes. Simply seeing is not enough. We require knowledge in order to recognize what we are seeing. Just like if you're studying biology at the university. If you look through a microscope at some slide or some biological phenomenon, unless you have education and training in biology, you will not recognize what you see. I don't know any of you have done that. Look through a microscope and you see things, but it doesn't make any sense to you. You can't recognize anything familiar because the education is not there, the knowledge is not there, the training is not there. But once you have sufficiently acquired biological knowledge, then you look at a microscope and immediately, you know, this is that. These are living entities. Everything depends on your vision being trained. And this is exactly what Krishna set out to do in Bhagavad Gita. Seeing God Krishna's way is not very difficult, but seeing God our way is impossible. So this is the first step in God realization, to understand you will never see God your way. Actually, it may sound a little severe, it may sound a little strong, but it is a fact. To try and see God without qualification is actually divine. This was Harani Kashipu's insistence in the seventh canto of Bhagavatam. He demanded of his saintly son Prahlad, "What is this nonsense talk about God? If there's a God, I should be able to see Him. It's quite obvious. I have eyes. I have intelligence. I have physical might. I am the great Hiranyakashipu. I don't see any God. So the conclusion is natural. There is no God, because I do not see him. He then challenged Kalai. Kimbala, where do you get your strength from, Kalai? How do you get your power to defy me? And Kalai Maharaj replied, Father, I get my strength from the same place that you get your strength. In fact, the source of all strength is one. Hiranyakashipu became very angry at this practical instruction in how to begin to see God. Prahlad, you're speaking so much nonsense. Are you trying to imply that you're more learned than me? Are you trying to imply that you can control your senses better than me? All right, Prahlad, this is what we're going to do. I, with my sword, am going to cut off your head. I want to see your God come and save you. This will be the scientific test. When your head is chopped off, then we know God to come, and so everyone can plainly see that I have solved the whole God problem. With one scientific technique, it's all finished. So he began to roar at Kalaj. Where is your God? Where is your God? Why can't I see him? Is he here? Is he there? Prahlad could see the Supreme Personality Godhead. He saw Lord Nrisimhadeva peeping from out, from inside the pillar, letting Prahlad know. You know, Prahlad, I'm here. Vahir Nrisimha, Vidaye Nrisimha, Nrisimhamadhi Sadanam Prakriti. Here is the Nrisimha, inside. Outside is the Nrisimha, everywhere is the Nrisimha. So Prahlad was seeing that. Hiranyakashipu could not see. Hiranyakashipu demanded to see God without qualification. This is, as we said, the Maya. Maybe we don't think of it in that way. Because of impersonalistic contamination. How would you like someone to insist to see you, and you never knew that person, they never did anything for you, in fact, they were hostile to you, yet they demanded to see you? Suppose some of you, let's say, you're at your house, and all of a sudden you hear this banging on the door, and someone demands, let me in, I want to see you, let me in, I want to see you now. Which you do. Oh, yes, yes, please come in. I want to see you now. I want to know everything about your personal life. I want to know everything about your family, all the personal details now. You would, what, you think this was totally rude. You'd be on, immediately you'd be on the telephone calling the police, right? Who is this stranger demanding to know me? This stranger has done no puja for me. This stranger has done no service for me, no seva. And he's demanding to see me and wants to know all about my name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Forget it. That's how we react. But then why is it that when we think about seeing God, we take it to be so cheap? Why doesn't God reveal himself to us? It's his problem to make himself known to us. We spend years in university training to be doctor, lawyer, engineer. How many years will we spend becoming qualified to see God? In this way, we are exposed as not being very serious. The topmost occupation is to see the Supreme Personality Godhead, to accept training to do that. That is the bhakti process. That bhakti process is for everyone. Brahmacharya, sannyasis, vihastas, renunciates, householders, everyone is meant to accept this training, how to see God. Is it really so difficult to see the Supreme Lord if you take his instructions? Not at all. How does Krishna explain in Bhagavad Gita? Rasaham apsukam paya. I'm the taste in water. So who is it that is not drinking water? Everyone drinks water. And if you follow Krishna's instruction how to sit here, all you do when you drink water is think Krishna is the taste. That is seeing Krishna. But you say, oh, it has to be more complicated than that. We thought Krishna should be making poetry when he says, Rasa Homo Sukhamaya. He thought these are Gita poetic statements. It's meant to inspire us in religiosity. No, Krishna is actually teaching you the technique how to see him. If he says, when you drink water, you think, I am the taste, that's what you do. If Krishna says, Prabhasmi,
Shashi Suryo,
I'm the light of the sun and the moon, you accept that. Every time you see the sunlight and moonlight, you think, that's Krishna. If Krishna says, I'm the original fragrance of the earth, then when you smell the earth and the flowers that come out of the earth, you think, Krishna is that origin of the fragrance. That means you're doing things Krishna's way. And that's the start of success. So even the newest practitioner of bhakti, of Krishna consciousness, can do this. Simply, when you drink water, think Krishna is the taste. Everyone here drinks water, everyone can see Krishna. Now you might ask yourself, is this really seeing Krishna? But Krishna says it is. In other words, Krishna is teaching you to see him by feeling. In spiritual life, it's not that you simply see with your eyes. Actually, first you see with your ears. You see Krishna through your ears. That's why the Shastra says, Atat Sri Krishna
Namaji Nabhavet Vayamunde.
First, you hear Krishna as his name. And then everything else follows. You see the form of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna. But first, through the ear, that is Krishna's instruction, how to see him. Part of being personal is to take seriously the person's instructions, how to relate to that person. Just like you are a person. You're a tiny part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are a person, though. And you have your personal ways, your likes and dislikes. So if someone wants to relate to you and please you, they should know the things that you like. They should know how to get your favor. You would not object to that. But why is it that we object to seeing Krishna, Krishna's way? This is the hypocrisy. So once we get over this hurdle of demanding to see Krishna our way, we will realize that actually God realization is very simple. The big barrier is simply that we refuse to do things Krishna's way. That is very impersonal. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has individuality, but his individuality is flawless and unlimited and eternal. We also have individuality, but our individuality is compromised by the material nature. Therefore, our original spiritual individuality becomes perverted and corrupted. But Krishna has a personality with no impediment, no limitation. And he personally expresses himself in Bhagavad Gita. He says, do like this, do like that, you'll see me. So, we should not speculate how it is that thinking the light of the sun and the moon is seeing Krishna when I see that sunlight and moonlight. You just do it, and Krishna will confirm from within your heart as the super soul, from without as the spiritual master. Krishna will confirm, I told you, you're seeing me. And then, once you take those instructions in Bhagavad Gita deep in your heart, your emotional, your bhakti emotional state for seeing Krishna will increase. In other words, whether you are a new devotee or you are an advanced devotee, you're seeing Krishna. It's just different degrees of intensity, that's all. The example the acharyas give is the mango. Whether the mango is ripe or unripe, it is still a mango. So if you have an unripe mango, it's just a matter of time. If it goes through the right procedure, it's left on your windowsill, the unripe mango will become ripe. When it's ripe, it's still a mango. When it's unripe, it's still a mango. They're just different degrees of ripeness, and those different degrees of ripeness produce different degrees of sweetness. Still, whether you are a newcomer to bhakti, to Krishna consciousness, or you are a long-time practitioner, you are still seeing Krishna. There's just different degrees of intensity, different degrees of emotional absorption. That is the point. That is why the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Aham sarvasya bhavo mata sarvam pavartate iti matta bhajante vamhavasamangata. I am the origin of everything, spiritual and material, Krishna says. Everything emanates from me. When you know this, then you're truly wise. Buddha, Bhava Samangata, you become absorbed in ecstatic, emotional ecstasy of seeing me everywhere just by knowing that everything is my energy. Those of you who have studied Isha Pranachara, which is part of the Yajurveda, you understand proprietorship. There, the Lord claims that everything animate and inanimate is under his control. Isha Vasha Idam Sarvam. Yakinja Jagat. Everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. So, does that mean you cannot touch anything? Yes, you can touch only what you need to live a simple life for pursuing God realization. For pursuing the career of seeing God. You can take what you need from material nature, but no more. Once you recognize, once you acknowledge that the Lord is the proprietor of everything, then you're able to see Krishna more easily. Otherwise, Krishna does not allow himself to be seen by thieves. Just like you don't want to be seen by ruffians. You don't want to be seen by criminal elements. Neither does Krishna. He has his curtain of deluding energy that prevents the wrong kind of people from seeing him. He explains this in Bhagavad Gita. Now, Prakasa Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samavrata. The Lord frankly and clearly explains, I am not manifest to everyone. I keep myself hidden from the unqualified by my curtain of deluding potency. The unqualified cannot see me. Every person will do that who's a gentleman or lady. Just like Srila Prabhupada would tell us how at the turn of the 20th century, his mother, whenever she wanted to just go across the street from her house to visit a lady friend, how would she do it? In a palanquin with closed curtains on both sides. That's the sign of respectability. She would not allow herself to be seen by anyone. She's a dignified, aristocratic, married lady. Just to go across the street from her house to her friend's house, her lady friend's house, she would go in a covered palanquin. That is class. That is dignity. So, Krishna is the supreme person. He has supreme dignity and supreme class. Therefore, he frankly says in Bhagavad Gita, you cannot see me unless you have a qualification. I don't reveal myself. Why should Lord Krishna reveal himself to those who do not acknowledge his proprietorship? He has his deluding energy, the Maya Shakti, which blinds the vision of those who have no qualification. Queen Kunti speaks about this in the first canto of Bhagavatam. She says, Namaste purusham tvadyam isha prakrite pradam. Alexa,
Sarvabhutanam,
Anta,
Bahirvashtita.
I offer my obeisances unto you, Krishna,
the original person.
You're here in the role of my nephew, but I know you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are superior to material nature. That material nature is your energy, and you're never affected by it. However, Alaksham,
Sarvabhutanam,
you're invisible
to ordinary vision.
He's not invisible to the qualified devotees, but Krishna's invisible to the ordinary person who has no qualification. Even though Anta
Bahirvashtita,
he's inside and outside of everything. This is the Krishna paradox. He's present everywhere, yet he can only be seen by those who have qualification. Otherwise, he's invisible. That's Krishna's personalism. That's how he personally does things. Just like you yourself will not reveal yourself to everyone and anyone. Suppose you happen to be walking on Queen Street, and then some stranger comes up to you and demands, I want to know you. Tell me everything personal about you right now. You feel very offended. Oh, this is becoming very bad. So, Krishna is the most respectable person. He has stipulations. He has requirements if you want to see him. Otherwise, you can't understand him. Even though you're seeing him right before your eyes do not, they do not take in what's actually in front of them. You see the world as godless. The devotee sees the world as godful. So, what does Queen Kunti explain in the next verse?
Maya Javanika Janya
Adharuchidam
Abhiram.
No, Shashay Mudasa. The fools can't recognize Krishna. Just like a child may see his father or mother acting a part in a drama, in a theater play, and the child doesn't realize, that's my father, that's my mother. Because the actor is wearing costume and makeup, the child can't see. Similarly, Krishna is present, but the fools cannot see him. The whole purpose of training in bhakti yoga is to recognize the presence of the Supreme Lord. So the first step in God realization is to acknowledge the proprietorship of Lord Krishna over everything. Then your vision starts to revive. And then you take Krishna's instructions, his personal recommendations, how to see him very seriously. I'm the tasting water. So when you drink water, you think Krishna's a taste. I'm the light of the sun and the moon. When you see the sunlight, the moonlight, you think this is Krishna. Don't take this as poetry. Metaphorical language. No, this is scientific technique how to observe the Supreme Lord. And the techniques are coming directly from Lord Krishna himself. Now, as you advance in bhakti, your emotional state becomes more and more purified. And the more you serve Krishna, the more you chant his holy name with attention, the more everywhere you look, you see opportunities for serving Krishna everywhere. This is when life in Krishna consciousness becomes so wonderfully overwhelming. You're able to see opportunities for Krishna everywhere. The example given by Srila Prabhupada is that just like a thief sees opportunities to steal everywhere. Similarly, a carnal person sees opportunity for lust everywhere, but the devotee sees opportunity for service to Krishna everywhere. That is what spiritual advancement is all about. As you become a more mature devotee, that means you're more expert at seeing service opportunities. This is the vision that we desire. have to see more and more chances for serving Krishna, chances for serving Krishna's devotee. This is what we want. Then you naturally become enlivened. Every day is ever fresh, because every day brings to your eye new and newer opportunities to serve Krishna, to engage things in Krishna's pleasure, in Krishna's service. Finally, that bhava begins to develop. Out of ruchi, taste, rati, attachment, then finally bhava develops, an intense emotional state of being absorbed in Krishna, seeing Krishna everywhere. The real wonder is, how can you not see Krishna? Even Dhruva Maharaj had such ferocious material desires. He wanted revenge against his stepmother, revenge against his stepbrother. He wanted a bigger kingdom than his father and his grandfather and his great-grandfather. Such powerful material desires, and he was only 5 years old. Yet he took the instructions of Narada Muni so seriously that within 6 months, that Supreme Lord whom he was meditating upon in his heart suddenly appeared outside of him, and Dhruva fell at his feet in ecstasy. And the Lord said, "All right, I'll give you what you want." And Dhruva was so embarrassed, he began to lament. Swamikavadosmi varam mirache. My Lord, simply seeing you face to face with this intensity is all I need. I don't want any material benediction. What a fool am I? I was searching for broken pieces of glass instead of the greatest jewel. I was seeking to meet you who can terminate the cycle of repeated birth and death, and all I was going to do was to ask for things that would perpetuate the cycle of repeated birth and death. This is my lamentation. My Lord, if you want to ask, do I want anything? Please just let me ask one thing. Let me have the association of devotees who are fully dedicated to your lotus feet. In other words, Jiva Maharaj became purified by his darshan of the Supreme Lord, and he forgot all his material desires. Indeed, he began to condemn his material desires. So this is the result of intensification in seeing Krishna. We begin to become transformed. Ultimately, that transformation becomes so advanced that everywhere we look, we see things that stimulate our ecstatic love of God. This is the advanced stage. You might have had the experience that when someone is very dear to you, when you are very fond of someone, just looking at something that belongs to that person stimulates nice memories, nice thoughts. Everyone has had that experience. Mothers have that with their children. They see some article of clothing that belongs to their child, and immediately their maternal love is stimulated. So, this is a good indication for you how advanced Krishna consciousness works. When you are so dedicated to using everything in Krishna's service, that, by the way, is real renunciation, as given by Srila Rupa Goswami. Not to renounce everything. How can you renounce everything? Nothing ever belonged to you. But to use everything in Krishna's service, then, everywhere you look, you begin to see simply that this is Krishna's energy. And then you immediately think of Krishna. Please understand, we have nothing actually to renounce. We have nothing actually to give to Krishna. Whatever we're offering to Krishna already belongs to Krishna, yet we get the credit for offering it to him. I remember when I was a little boy, about 5 years old, my mother gave me $1 to buy Christmas presents for the family. Back then, in 1955, with one US dollar, you could buy something. Candy bars only cost 5 cents. Okay. So I took $1 that she gave me and very proudly walked to the neighborhood Appletech chemist, and I told the chemist there, I need to buy Christmas presents for my family. So he took it very seriously. Oh, very good young man. How much do you have? I said, I have $1. Ooh, so much money. Let us see what we can buy. And so he made some suggestions. I remember I bought a powder puff for my mother, plus 25 cents. And then I bought some 5 razor blades for my father, another 25 cents. And I bought a toothbrush for my sister, another 25 cents. And I bought some toothpaste for my brother, another 25 cents. Hold on. So then, Christmas came, and all the gifts are opened. And so I had wrapped all these presents very carefully, and then put them at the Christmas tree. And then it was Christmas morning, everyone's opening up their presents. So, and my mother was, oh, look at this. A powder puff. How exquisite, how wonderful. Oh, just what I needed. My father, oh, you have given me 5 razor blades. This is very practical. Well done, my lad, well done. And my sister opened and hers, and a toothbrush. Oh, thank you, brother. So, you know, it was an emotional exchange of the heart. But no one ever said, hey, where did you get the money to buy this? Did you get the money from mother? No. Everyone just accepted the devotion. So, Krishna is much more expert in doing those things. Everything belongs to him, yet when you give to Krishna, you get credit for giving what doesn't belong to you. Isn't this a simple process, Bhakti? Nothing belongs to you. You give it to Krishna, and you get so much credit for something that never belonged to you in the first place. And if you kept it for yourself, you would become burdened with bad karma. And you just give it to Krishna, and you get full credit, giving what doesn't belong to you. How can you get a better deal than that? So, re-renunciation, what Rupa Goswami describes as yukta vairagya, means you don't turn your back on anything and reject it, thinking that is spiritual life. No, you use everything in the service of the Lord. And when you have intense desire to use everything in the service of the Lord, increases and increases, then everywhere you look reminds you of Krishna. That is where bhakti yoga is taking us, to a state of consciousness where everywhere we turn, we remember Krishna because we see everything as Krishna's energy. And as soon as you see Krishna's energy, you think of the proprietor of that energy. You think of Krishna. This bhava intensifies so much as you continue to advance that on the highest platform of Krishna consciousness, you don't exactly see moving and unmoving things. This is explained by Lord Chaitanya in a confidential section of Chaitanya Charitamrita when he's speaking to Ramana Maharaj. That's the most confidential section
of Chaitanya Charitamrita.
I do hope that our more advanced practitioners are studying Chaitanya Charitamrita, and as it is the postgraduate study of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, in the most commental section, Lord Chaitanya is speaking to Ramananda Roy. Lord Chaitanya is posing questions, and Ramananda Roy is answering. But Ramananda Roy says, actually, Lord Chaitanya is vibrating his tongue and causing him to speak. So actually, the questions and the answers are coming from Lord Chaitanya. So, Lord Chaitanya explains, Stavara Jangama Teke Na Teke Karamurti. The Mahabhagavat, the topmost devotee of the Lord, doesn't exactly see moving and non-moving things. He sees moving and non-moving things in this world, but things are not just left at that. Because as soon as he sees something, he immediately thinks, this belongs to Krishna. And then immediately he sees Krishna, Shamsundar everywhere. The connection is so quick, instantaneous. This belongs to Krishna, that belongs to Krishna. And immediately you think of Krishna. He's there, Shamsundar. Lord Chaitanya explained, that is the perfectional platform, the Mahabhagavata platform. The love intensifies so much that everywhere you look, you see Krishna. In fact, as you understand, there's nothing but Krishna. Even Maya reminds you of Krishna. In the first canto of Bhagavatam, when Vyasadeva describes his self-realization, he says, I saw the Supreme Lord, and I saw the material energy behind the Supreme Lord. In other words, he saw the complete reality. He saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He saw the illusory energy. He saw the spiritual energy. Perfection in vision means to see the Lord and his energies all together. That's why the Bhagavatam educates you in the complete cosmic reality and beyond. You understand the living entities, the human beings, the demigods. You understand Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra. You understand the spiritual world, Narayan. And then you understand Bhagavan Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, the original personality of God, Lord Shri Krishna. Everything is there given in the complete whole, the Om Purna. That is proper vision. But that vision only comes through love. And that kind of love that causes us to advance in bhakti, that kind of love that is a result of advancement in bhakti, that comes from sacrifice. In this age, the best way, the most efficient way to sacrifice for Krishna is performance, the performance of non-sankirtan, congregational chanting of the holy name. Those of you who were here earlier, you saw everyone chanting, everyone dancing. That's actually yajna. Don't mistake it as some sentimental activity. Oh, they're just releasing some energy. No, this is Vedic sacrifice, the pinnacle of Vedic sacrifice. In this age of Kali, there's no other effective way of sacrificing for Krishna, yajna vai vishnu, than performance of Namasankirtan. The more you absorb yourself in the congregational chanting, the more you're easily able to see Krishna everywhere. Just like those of you who are seriously chanting japa every day, which I hope many of you are, the more seriously you take your japa, the more you concentrate in your chanting of japa, the more you see everything around you as energy belonging to Krishna. In other words, before there can be love of Krishna, there has to be recognition of the proprietorship of Krishna. As long as we do not recognize Krishna's proprietorship over everything, then we're disrespecting Krishna. Indeed, we're practicing criminal life. How would you like it for someone to start using your possessions without acknowledging that you are the owner? Suppose maybe you have a house in Howick or a house somewhere. Someone just walks by your house and says, look at this house. Not a bad house. Wonder how it got here. Who knows? Anyway, I think I'll claim this house. I think I'll just walk in, take a tour of the house, use all the facilities as I like. This is criminal. Yet, this is how people live in this world. They don't recognize the facilities as belonging to the Supreme Lord. So first you have to make peace with the Supreme Provider. Then you can start to proceed on the path of developing love for the Provider. And that love for the Provider becomes so intense that you go beyond simply relating to Bhagavan as the Proprietor and Controller. You proceed to understanding Bhagavan Krishna as a supreme enjoyer who has personal loving relationships with his devotees. But you'll never get to that platform without first recognizing Isha Vashtamidam Sarva, the Isha Upanishad principle. Who is the Isha? Who is the controller, proprietor? First that has to be there. Then we can move on to real God-realization, which is understanding the Lord as the affectionate well-wisher of his devotees, Bhaktavatsala. This is very important. We don't want to take things cheaply, thinking immediately, without any recognition of the Lord's proprietorship, we're going to jump to the platform of relishing the Lord's loving affairs with his pure devotees. First, there has to be proper foundation laid. That's why we execute bhakti yoga so carefully, building the relationship with the Supreme Lord. What are Krishna's dearest devotees doing? In the topmost section of the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, his devotees see nothing but Krishna. They don't even think that Krishna is God. They just know he's the most attractive child, he's the most attractive lover, he's the most attractive friend, he's the most attractive master. That's all they think. They simply see the unlimited beauty of Krishna. You can read in Krishna, the Supreme Personality Godhead, Volume 1, Volume 2. You can read in Srimad Bhagavatam how the Lord arranges to separate himself from his dearest devotees just so their hankering for him increases. In other words, Lord Krishna teaches that seeing him through separation is the most intense way to see him. This reality is what Krishna as Lord Chaitanya came to demonstrate. Vipralamba Seva, service to the Lord in separation, is more intense than even meeting the Lord. On the one hand, when Krishna left the Vrijvasis, the residents of Vrindavan, and went to Mathura, it seemed very cruel. On the other hand, the Lord was giving them the greatest reward, the chance to experience his presence, the chance to see him through separation. Lord Chaitanya teaches that attitude. Asri Shiva Bhadavatam Panashtuma Adarshanam Marmakam Karu. My dear Lord, you may not let me see you. You may not let me see you. That's alright. A darshan. Not giving me any darshan. Not giving me any vision of you. Marata, making me broken hearted. You can do that. It's alright. Whether I see you or not, it's unimportant.
Let me just go on serving you.
That is the attitude of the topmost devotee. Krishna, it would be very nice to see you. How I long to see you. But if it's not happening, if you have other things to do, if you have your reasons for not being visible to me, it's all right. I'll just go on with my service. That is the attitude of the highest devotees. Lord Chaitanya came to teach that. The highest devotees do not demand to see God. They know Krishna is present. I just want to focus on my service. And when the Lord wants to, He'll reveal Himself to me. Now, atheists may criticize. How can you serve someone you don't see? They don't understand how Krishna reveals Himself through devotional service. But out of humility, the devotee is saying, I don't see Krishna. But actually, that devotee's life is full of nothing but Krishna. And Krishna becomes more present to the devotee through feelings of separation. That's why the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Ishad Gosai, they never say, we are seeing Krishna. No, what do they say? Where is Krishna? When will we find Krishna? He Radhe Bhajate Nite Chalite He Nandasuna. Queen of Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani, where are you? Lalita, your companion, where are you? Where is Krishna? Is he on the bank of the Jamuna River? Is he on Govardhan Hill? Where is he? Where is that son of Maharaj Nanda, Nandasuna? This is the mood of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. They never said, now we are seeing Krishna, okay. Mission is accomplished. Now, what is the topmost gift of the Gaudiya Sampradaya? The topmost gift is to have an unfulfilled mission. Now you might be thinking, those of you who are seriously practicing, lofty, how is it that the topmost achievement is to have an unfulfilled mission? The six Goswamis of Vrindavan had a mission that was never fulfilled. They never said, now we have Krishna. No, they were always looking. Where is he? Where is Krishna? Is he by the bank of Jamuna? Is he on top of Govardhan Hill? Where is he? This is their mood. This is their bhava. This is their emotional absorption and ecstatic love of God. But in that feeling of separation, where is he? Where is he? They were always seeing Krishna, even more intensely than any other method. This is the topmost gift that Lord Chaitanya came to give. This is why it's very important for devotees who want to mature in spiritual life. It's very important you study Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Charitamrita takes the moods of Bhagavatam, 10 canon, and goes deeper and deeper. And Lord Chaitanya personally demonstrates absorption in those moods. So, through separation from Krishna, you're seeing Krishna even more intensely. This is the mystery of Vrindavan, that when the residents of Vrindavan were lamenting, when will Krishna ever return? How can he do this? How can he leave us? They had Krishna's presence more than anyone, just by those intense feelings of separation. This is the mystery, the topmost mystery of bhakti. So, we begin our bhakti with taking Krishna's instructions seriously, acknowledging what Krishna says. You want to see me? I'm the taste of water. I'm the light of the sun. We don't belittle it.
I'm so simple.
We take advantage of it because Krishna said. And then, by following Krishna's instructions, we start to relate Krishna's energy to Him. He is the enjoyer of everything. He's the proprietor of everything. He's the friend of everyone. Then you begin to see the world properly. No longer do you see the world with criminal vision.
This is mine. That is mine. All for me, my success. Due to my great prowess and financial economic abilities, my business abilities. No, that vision will not produce the desired state of spiritual advancement. So we take Krishna's instructions very seriously. So much so that as the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, for one who sees me in everything and sees everything in me, I never lost that devotee, and that devotee never lost to me. It's all about proper vision developed through proper technique. That is what Krishna consciousness is all about. Not simply believing in God. We want an actual program for seeing God. And that you can have. In fact, that program for seeing God is so successful that you will see God most intensely through feelings of separation. This is the greatest mystery. Even in ordinary language, people say, absence makes the heart grow fonder. When the lover is separated from the beloved, you think about what you're missing so intensely. Oh, when will that person come again? When will we meet again? Such an intense feeling. This is a slight indication of what the spiritual reality is like. How seeing Krishna through feelings of separation is the most intense way. Let us remember that as our vision of the Supreme Lord increases more and more, we begin to forget our material desires. Just like Dhruva Maharaj did. He didn't want anything from Krishna. That was his conclusion. Don't ask me to choose any material benefits. I'm ashamed of myself for wanting all these material things instead of wanting you. He had achieved the perfection of his Krishna consciousness. He just wanted the association of Krishna's dear devotees. That's all he wanted. And he knew, in that association, I'll always be seeing Krishna. So let us aspire to keep the good company of serious practitioners of Krishna consciousness. Then we'll always feel inspired how to see God. It will become a reality, not just a theory, not just religious belief, not just something our grandmother taught us in Fiji or India. It becomes a living reality. That is what we want. And then you'll see real bhakti, real Krishna consciousness come to life. For yourself, for your children, for your family, it will not just be a cultural inheritance. Well, my grandmother did like this, so I'm also doing that. No, you will see the real thing. You will see Krishna through service. All right. We'll take some time, short time, if you have any questions. And then we'll have a prasad. That's also an art, how to see Krishna through prasad. Yes, yes. In the beginning, you take prasad, and you want to enjoy the flavors. You want to enjoy the filling yourself up. But as you become more advanced in taking prasad, honoring prasad, you feel the spiritual inspiration of the prasad. That becomes most important to you. You're feeling Krishna's presence through the prasad. So this is another important way how to see Krishna. How many of you, when you sit down for prasad, do you say, no, I don't want to taste with my tongue, I just want to look with my eyes, I just want to see the prasad. I only want to see the prasad. Seeing is most important. Does anyone tell that to whoever serves the prasad? I don't want to taste. It's most important that I see. If I cannot see the prasad and just look at it, then this is not successful. No. You want predominantly to taste. That shows you. You have so many senses. Why you put so much importance just on the eyes? You can taste God. You can hear God. When it's time for prasad, everyone gets practical experience how to taste the Supreme Personality of God. This is how practical Krishna consciousness is.
So if you have any questions.
Very wonderful things to think about. Seeing Krishna, praying the nature, the vision of pure love. Lord Chaitanya is making it easily possible. It is not impossible. Simply, you take Krishna consciousness seriously as your topmost career. Proceed through all the phases of your life with Krishna in the center, and you'll develop the vision of seeing Krishna everywhere. It's not just for the brahmacharis, it's not just for the sannyasis. What does Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur talk about in his song? Shuddha Bhakta Chadanarayana Vajana Anukula. He describes that while performing arti in his home, he saw his house turn into Goloka Vrindavan. That's how powerful his vision was. So, it's showing you the possibilities. Please take it very, very seriously. All right, I see you're all thinking very deeply. That's good. Thank you for listening very attentively. Hare Krishna.
Jai. Jai.